Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki professional and intuitive in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 9 years, I've been teaching people how to use their intuition and helping them reduce stress and anxiety. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Hey, welcome, welcome, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters, and I am your host, Caroline Rutterman. And today we have an awesome interview happening. We are chatting with Ananda Wilson, who is a local perfumer of Gather Perfume. So welcome, Ananda.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
What fun. I've never been in a radio studio before. So.
Yes, absolutely. I know. It's a really cool environment. Valley Free Radio is a really cool space. And and sometimes crazy things happen. Like, you know, who knows what's going to happen?
It's an adventure.
Yes, it's always an adventure. So we are here to chatting a little bit about botanical perfumes, because you craft perfumes. I was thinking about that, and I know a lot of people, I meet a lot of people, but you're the first perfumer I've ever met. How did you get into this work?
We're a hiding breed, perhaps. I think it was a long, sort of slow and subtle process, really. It's hard to pinpoint. It wasn't like I woke up one day and I was thinking, wow, I'm going to be a perfumer. It was really an evolution. I grew up with a mom who was studying to be an herbalist, and I grew up with, you know, Ayurveda as our Ayurveda and natural healing really as our main modality of health. And eventually I became an herbalist myself, and really just through the work of plants and exploring plant material and aromatic herbs and aromatherapy really just led me towards blending things that were beautiful and complex, and it captured my sense of imagination and artistry. And eventually I was like, wow, I can just focus on how something smells. I don't have to worry about any of the other elements. I really just want to make art, and I want to move people with something that they smell, and I want to tell a story with what I make. So I think it was a long evolution, but here I am.
Well, you certainly captured my attention, because I found your perfumes at Thalo Home in Northampton. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think I was smelling your perfumes for about a good half an hour, or I was just transfixed at this little silver tray that they had with your, I think, the half milliliter samples, and or they're not samples, they're just smaller, smaller vessels. And I was just, they were the smells that I'd never smelled in combination. And I tend not to really be attracted to department store, you know, scents. That just, they're overwhelming for me. But I was really, my imagination was caught by
I love that.
The cardamoms and the chocolate. And you have a very talented nose.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
I love what you talked about, of this idea of just focusing on capturing your imagination just through smell. Mm-hmm. How can you tell us a little bit about what creating art through smell is for you, what that experience is like?
What the experience is like.
Or how you understand that.
Yeah. Well, as you know, my background is in dance. That's sort of my quote unquote formal background.
All types of dance, or?
Mostly contemporary.
Okay.
I did contemporary dance theater, a lot of prop work, a lot of partnering, very physical, very centered around imagery and storytelling. And I would say that's a very influential lens for me when I'm working, is how do I implement the elements of art into the perfume that I'm working on? And the stages are very similar. The process of creating a dance piece, of choreography, of refining it, of looking for elements that are compelling, You're looking for cadence, you're looking for contrast, you're looking for something, potent, something that's going to move the wearer or the viewer. And those elements, I really look for those while I'm creating something. I look for those same elements, and oftentimes that's what I see in my mind, is sort of a synesthetic review of what's happening. I'll see colors, I'll see movements, I'll see maybe landscapes or whatever it is that's coming to me through the process.
So as you're smelling with your eyes closed, I would imagine?
Sometimes.
And then, so as you're smelling, you... like that's when the kind of colors and the landscapes start appearing to you.
Mm-hmm. It's not always with my eyes closed, but I do tend to take my work in progress to different scenarios. So I'll wear it to the gym, or I'll wear it going to bed, or I'll smell it first thing in the morning, or I'll put it away for a while. That is one thing about perfumery, natural perfumery in particular, is that it has to age. Mm. It has to spend some time just letting the molecules bond. And changes can happen. So changes usually do happen, sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. But putting it away for a little while and then coming back to it and evaluating it in different stages of aging is really important.
How long do perfumes typically age for? Or the is botanical perfumes specifically, right?
Yeah, I can't really, I've never made a synthetic-based perfume, so I can't really speak to that. It really depends. I have some simpler perfumes that don't change a whole lot, and I kind of know that. So when I make them, I'll give them maybe 2 or 3 weeks to settle, and then they're ready. Other perfumes that are more complex or have certain combinations of materials tend to change a lot. There are certain materials that grow or they shrink. So I have to kind of keep that in mind. So it might take a month, 2 months, 3 months.
Wow.
It depends. Yeah.
That's really cool. Do you, and when they're in this process of aging, do they stay in a cool, dark place? Is that kind of the idea? Like you tuck them away in your magical cabinet.
Yep. And then exactly.
That's really neat. Tell us a little bit about what your studio looks like, because I feel like this is such a new world for me. Your website on gatherperfume.com is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
The photography is just, the lighting is so biblical, and it's all these different color oils, and it's you in beautiful dresses, and there's glass beakers, and my imagination was just lit on fire. I was like, oh, I wonder what it's like in her studio. But what does your studio look like?
Yeah.
Give us a little picture of that.
Well, you mentioned the photography, so I just want to say thank you to Candace Hope, who does my scene photography. So anything like this where you see me sort of holding a jar or spraying a perfume bottle, that is done by her. She's wonderful.
Well, thank you, Candace Hope.
Yeah, the product photography I do myself, but those aren't the sort of more scenic ones. My studio is a small room that I have in the downstairs of my home, and... I'm glad that it looks really glamorous because none of my furniture is matching. That's like one of my goals, is to have matching furniture in my studio. But I tend to spend my money on really good like rose oils and forget about the furniture. It's a small room in my home, and I have a little corner cabinet that has all of my aromatic distillations and extractions. I guess perfumers would say that's my perfume organ. Doesn't really look like an organ to me, so in your words, it's my magical cabinet.
Okay. And the organ is like a term, a perfumer term for the cabinet.
Yep, it's sort of it looks kind of like an organ, is that it usually has tiered shelving so that you can see where your top notes, your middle notes, and your bass notes are, and you can it's actually kind of like this here, where it sort of surrounds the perfumer, and they can work at the desk that is right below the perfume materials. So wow. That would be really dreamy, maybe one day.
Yeah, that's really neat that it's laid out like a musical instrument mm-hmm, with the mm-hmm. how you said the top notes, the middle notes, yep. and the lower notes, meaning that those are the smells. Mm-hmm. At the different points that mm-hmm. you smell something.
Exactly. That's their rate of evaporation and how they present themselves in the perfume. So the top notes you're going to smell first, they're sort of like the person who welcomes you to the party, who, you know, introduces.
Usually the dog that runs up to you
yeah.
at the house.
Right. yeah. So that's what you're going to smell first. And they have a high rate of evaporation. So they're going to be relatively fleeting. And once those evaporate or volatilize, then you're going to be presented with the heart notes. And those are oftentimes florals. Sometimes there's spices. Sometimes it depends on the extraction method. There can be like neroli would be higher than an orange blossom, which is the same plant, but a different extraction method. So the orange blossom would be presenting itself in the heart notes. And then you have the base notes, which have the heavier molecules, and they evaporate the slowest, and so they last the longest on the skin.
Gotcha.
So you may not smell those at the beginning. You may, but you may not smell them until the other notes have sort of played their role, and you're left with the what's called the dry down, or the ending of the perfume. And that's sort of what lingers, you know, on your sweater the next morning, and you're like, oh, yeah. When you have all the memories.
is the dry down, the dry notes that you said, or what was the word that you said?
It's called the dry down.
The dry down.
That's what you smell the last.
Wow. And is that last dry down, is that connected to a deeper part of our brain, to a different part of our memory than the higher and the mid notes?
I don't know the answer to that question. That's a really good question. I don't know. What I will say is that a lot of the notes that are used in base notes are notes that we've used historically in for religious purposes or ceremonial purposes. So they have more of an impression on our animal mind. You know, we have sandalwood, we have, you know, benzoin resin, these, you know, tree resins, vanilla, things that we've been using for centuries for really important purposes. So,
who knows?
It's a mystery.
Yeah, that's cool. Smell is a mystery to me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's something that, for me, it's always changing depending on, like, I just got over a cold and I feel like when I eat and smell things during cold and flu season, it is like I just smell things in such different ways.
Mm-hmm.
How do you typically take care of this is your work. How mm-hmm. do you take care of that sense of smell when you're during cold and flu season?
Yeah. Well, ironically, sometimes with more smells like eucalyptus.
Oh, yeah. Right, it's also your therapy.
Yeah. I try to keep myself really healthy so I don't get sick that often.
Of course, yeah.
I think I'll try to answer your question a little more deeply. I think perfumers need to take really good care of their mucous membranes because that is sort of our barrier. And if we get too dried out, then I think that can lead to some health concerns. So I try to keep demulcent herbs in my repertoire, drinking linden infusion, violet infusion, lots of bone broths, things that just keep my body and my mucous membranes really healthy, so that because I'm smelling pretty often, I want to make sure that sort of first line of defense is really well taken care of. But when I get sick, it's just, you know, like I'm on the couch with soup and eucalyptus and that's it.
Yeah. Take a little time off of work.
Yep.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't really smell properly when I'm sick.
Yeah. It's not even worth trying to delve into that.
Nope.
It's just gonna, yeah.
Nope. And I package all of my orders myself. So I don't really want to be touching people's stuff.
Right.
Like I'll just close my studio and go be sick for a couple of days.
Yeah. And that I feel like is a very honorable way of, honoring the season and our needs for as people, you mm-hmm. know, when we're creating beauty in this world and, you know, improving these little corners, whether it's through smell or through Reiki or whatever it is, sometimes yeah. we just have to say, like, I need to take care of myself right yep. now.
Yeah, I have to walk my talk. I mean, I promote self-care and, you know, sensory rituals. And so I have to be a good example too.
Yeah. And having the herbalism as a background, you know, mm-hmm. like that's all about our health and the earth and the world around us.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So over the break, we were just chatting about how much I love your newsletter, I was saying, and you have all this gorgeous photography that I was admiring before. And you also put up your own poetry on your newsletter as well. It's all your writing.
It's true. I do. Yes. I don't really know what to say about it. I just write it and put it out into the world.
Is it writing that you that is sort of attached to particular scents or perfumes that you've blended, or does it just kind of come from a dream? Or where do I love it? It's
thank
great.
You. I really appreciate that very much. I'm not exactly sure. I've always included a little bit of writing here and there with, you know, any kind of blog writing or newsletters that I've done. I think what happens for me is either during a season or the season of making a perfume, I sort of just let myself be immersed in whatever that is. And when I sit down and write a newsletter, I think about the person who's going to read it, and my goal being to make them feel something. I want to move my audience, and that's my first goal. And I feel like the only way for me to do that at this point in my life is to be really honest and to be really authentic with what I'm giving. And one of the ways that I do that is by writing. And I never really know. These pieces of writing that I do in my newsletters are rarely ever written the day before or edited, hardly at all. I just sit down and I write as if I'm writing a letter to someone.
Hmm.
So they're simple. They're simple. I don't try to overcomplicate anything. I just want to give something to my reader that isn't just marketing. I do marketing in my newsletters, but we're bombarded by marketing. We're bombarded by, you know, plastic and fake scents and all this other stuff. And I just want to give my reader something. You know, maybe they don't have my perfume yet in their hand, and so they don't necessarily have my art yet. So I feel like the poetry is sort of a way for me to connect with my reader in between having a perfume.
Well, it's really, I mean, it's, as somebody, you know, I do a little bit of writing, and part of what struck me is that in your newsletter, you don't sign it. And so I assumed that it was your writing. And what impressed me even more is that I was like, wow, like you send out your newsletters fairly regularly and there's fresh poems and fresh writing, and every time mm-hmm. it's like you described it as simple and moving and kind of creating this art that's kind of based as you're immersing yourself in the season, and it feels that way. It's very mm-hmm. Yeah, every word is very, you know, carefully chosen, and I was like, I think this is Ananda's writing. Mm. I think this is her poetry. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, yeah, it's a really nice reason to sign up for your newsletter.
Mm, thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate that. Very
yeah.
much.
Yeah. I get a lot of newsletters, and I like to see what, you know, my friends and, you know, colleagues are doing, and yours is exceptional.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me.
Of course. Yeah.
I think people are craving a sense of connection today. I think people are craving authenticity and a sense of belonging in this world. I think people want to connect with nature, and they want to connect with people on a deeper, more authentic level. And I want that. And I want to do that through my work as well. So
yeah, it's showing.
Thanks.
So bring out these little bottles that you have.
I'm not sure how to decide which one, but I know you had expressed an interest in some of my wildcrafting.
Yes.
So,
because you you wildcraft. Tell people what wildcrafting is and what kind of materials you wildcraft for.
Yeah, so wildcrafting is going into the wild or going into nature, as opposed to your own garden, and harvesting plant material. So that could mean, you know, some people forage for food, which I do sometimes, but I forage primarily for medicine and perfumery materials. So every spring, my mom and I go to the beach and we harvest roses together.
Oh, beach roses. So
they're beach roses. Rosa rugosa. They're beautiful and they make those giant red hips later in the summer. And when we were harvesting, it started to drizzle. It started like raining, which hadn't happened to us before. And we were like, wow, what do we do? It's like, we're just going to keep gathering and let our, you know, let all our roses get wet, or like, what are we going to do here? And it kind of just kept drizzling just enough to like make us wonder, but not quite enough to make us leave. And so we just kept gathering and kept harvesting, you know, filling rose petals in our basket. And we were walking back and my mom was like, these are like, there's rainwater and roses in here. And I was like, oh my gosh. So we sort of decided on the spot that this perfume was going to be named Rainwater Rose. So there's roses and rainwater in the perfume.
So what I'm smelling right now is definitely the roses. How to describe it? How do you describe it?
Yeah. So what,
when you smell that, what's your response? She's taking a big whiff of a little tester. So in front of, just to paint the scene for everyone out there, there's a little amber colored jar filled. Well, it's a clear jar filled with amber liquid. And you brought these sort of little paper testers as kind of samples. And so now you're smelling. And so tell us about what do you smell?
So I smell, well, simply put, I smell floral. I smell juicy floral. So to me, it smells really jammy and moderately sweet. It smells very fresh and very, there's a hint of spice in there. It's kind of far away in the back, but there's just a little bit of spice.
I feel like you have to be a poet to be a perfumer. I feel like you have a great vocabulary.
Well, I think we're not really given an olfactory vocabulary. I think it's one of the senses. Like, we have a huge vocabulary for music and a huge vocabulary for dance and, you know, lots of arts and painting, but we don't have very much for smell. We don't practice it very much. So even if we had a larger vocabulary, it doesn't necessarily translate to the person you're speaking with. So I could say fresh or I could say clean and it could be like something completely different for you. We're not necessarily talking about the same kind of smell at all. So
when you said jammy, I was like, yes, that is a smell. And it also reminded me too of when you were talking about the high, middle and low notes, the rose, I took a really big whiff. And it was not the first thing I smelled. Obviously have smelled that smell again, but it almost took a big inhale and then I smelled it. So maybe I would say that was a middle note.
Yeah. So I would consider this a soliflor, which is a perfume based around,
that smells so good.
Based I feel around one.
So relaxed. My shoulders actually started relaxing. My shoulders and my biceps just relaxed from that.
I mean, roses are famous for relaxing and creating sensuality and compassion in the heart, you know, heart opening. But soliflor is a perfume that's based around one note. You know, you're using several materials to exalt that one note. So there isn't a whole lot more to smell other than the sort of stages of the roses and the different roses that I've used inside this perfume, the rose tincture, the rose auto, the rose absolute. They're all in here, so it's going to carry a lot longer through the wear of the perfume since it's a solifleur. But
very cool.
But there's, you know, roses are incredibly complex. We have, you know, I don't even know, what is it, 300 different compounds inside of a rose. And
wow.
So it's very different than like a rose aroma chemical, which is like one thing.
Right.
So we're smelling something that's very full. It's very complex. It's very layered. And it evolves on your skin when you wear it. So, yeah.
You mentioned something earlier that caught my attention. You said that you, when you're testing a perfume, you will wear it to the gym. And I feel like that's in my mind, that's another scent-free zone, you know?
Totally. Well, so to be clear, I'm a weightlifter. And so when I wear it to the gym, it means that I wear it around my weightlifting club, who are like the same people that I see,
yeah,
you know, 3 or 4 days a week, all week. So we're all very like close and they understand that if I come
together.
In smelling like something, it's just like because I'm working.
Yeah.
But no, they're all really sweet and they always give me good feedback. They tell me that I smell like cookies or roses.
Oh.
But so, yeah,
that's
it's
really
not.
Sweet.
Yeah. If I were testing a conventional perfume, which wouldn't happen, but let's say I was.
A conventional,
I wouldn't wear
meaning
it.
The synthetic based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A synthetic based perfume. I wouldn't wear it to the gym. I just feel like that would like distract people or maybe be in their space affecting them or maybe I would give them asthma or something. I don't know. But no, I wouldn't really do that. So it wears closer to the skin, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make, is that botanical perfumes generally wear a lot closer to the skin. They don't have the same projection that synthetic perfumes have. They don't use synthetic fixatives. There are strong natural materials. I mean, you can smell patchouli for days. There's no doubt about it. But most of them wear a lot closer to the skin. They don't have the same throw. They don't have the same sillage. They're just much more intimate and closer to your, like, your personal bubble.
Yeah. You had a great quote on your website. It said, botanical perfumes are personal and intimate. They're not meant to enter the room before you. They're meant to walk with you as your second skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that idea of, yeah, they perfumes are meant to be intimate, and or at least how I like to wear them is mm-hmm. that, you know, if somebody hugs you and they're like, oh, you smell so good, that's a big compliment
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I often don't like when I smell guys from a little bit farther away or somebody who's really laden with perfume. It's just, it's a lot for me. You know?
Yeah, it can be really overwhelming. I think that we've had some really good advances in terms of like self-care over the last couple of decades. And I feel like with the movement of like taking better care of ourselves through health and well-being and herbal medicine and, you know, movements that have brought us back to being more self-referring in terms of like our health and not doing things necessarily to please others, because I think the sort of idea of like wearing tons of perfume was based around the idea that we're influencing someone else, that we're trying to get somebody's attention, or we're trying to make a statement of status, or seduce someone, or whatever it is. I think it was very other based about you know, forcing that upon somebody else. But I think we're really turning that around and saying, you know, this is what I love, and this is what I love to smell. And, this is about, you know, making me feel really good. You know, aromatherapy has done a really good job of that. But natural perfumery, I feel like, really is about self-expression and about, not really so much about influencing somebody else, but influencing yourself.
Because it does affect your mood,
mm-hmm.
you know, like if I'm smelling roses, it is, like you said, there's the compassion piece mm-hmm. of that. It's I physically felt my body relax.
Mm.
So it's, you know, it's affecting us on a lot of different levels. Mm-hmm. How we smell ourselves if we haven't showered in a while, et cetera, et cetera.
There goes that patchouli.
Right. Just put the patchouli on. So you're bringing another little clear jar here that has some other dark liquid inside.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. So she's taking the little tester and dipping it into this. Are these all oil based, or all the botanical blends into like pressed? What is it? Like, it's an oil?
What is it?
What is this dip?
It's primarily alcohol based.
Oh, okay.
I have worked with oil base, and I have a solid perfume actually that's out for my Valentine's Day collection, but I primarily work with alcohol based perfumes, and that's for a couple of reasons. One is because when I forage plant materials, I'm generally tincturing them in alcohol for their aromatic qualities.
Gotcha.
And because there's a lot of aromatic materials that are not soluble in anything but alcohol.
Really?
So I have a wider palette working with alcohol. And oftentimes they don't sing. The aromatics don't sing quite as well if they're sort of weighed down with the oil. They have a better sort of opening and blossoming on the skin with the alcohol.
Hmm. That's really interesting. I don't know what I'm smelling. I have been smelling it for the last 20 seconds, and it smells good. I just don't know what it is.
That's great. Yeah, so you could start with adjectives or colors or moods.
Okay.
That's a good start.
Okay, so we're doing a little experiment. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters, and we're chatting with Gather Perfume and the perfumer herself, Ananda Wilson, and I'm Caroline Rutterman. So I'm going to start with a mood as I'm smelling this. It feels a little, if I'm thinking mood, it feels a little fiery. It feels a little spicy. And you just gave me quite an eyebrow when I said spicy. I'm also noticing that this is a little bit, when I smell this, I feel my solar plexus. I kind of feel my, my upper abdominal area soften. So that's where it physically is affecting me.
Mm.
And also kind of a little bit across the eyes. It does feel kind of like a little woodland creature when I smell this. A little fox. Or no, a raccoon.
Oh, I love that.
That's all I got.
Oh, that's great. It's good practice. So this is vintage violet.
Ooh.
And I classify this as a green chypre.
What is
it? It's very mysterious. So green meaning it has green nuances, and in this case, sort of grassy green nuances, and mossy green nuances. So
moss, yes.
Yeah. So that's sort of probably where that woodland nymph feeling kind of came from. And there is a very small amount of black pepper in it, which gives it that sort of spicy lift.
Yes.
And perhaps like aperitif almost in your stomach.
Yes.
It's cool. Pretty subtle, but it also has a very like slightly powdery, mossy, earthy, rich quality to it. So a chypre is a perfume that's based around oak moss and bergamot as sort of the alchemy, and it's a classification that isn't used a whole lot anymore because it's considered sort of bold and dark and bossy and kind of used to be like a symbol of status or good taste. But we had sort of entered into this era of like more fruity florals and more sort of quote unquote clean or sterile types of scents.
Yeah.
And chypres are not.
Right.
They're like dark and dirty and earthy and mossy and seductive.
It
and
is seductive.
Rich.
And,
so I just wanted to give you an example of something that was a little bit harder to decipher. It's something that sort of has more of an imprint of like, oh, this is this perfume, as opposed to like, oh, I can pick out this note or that note, or like, oh, that smells like flowers. It's a little, like you said, I don't know what I'm smelling. It's a little more mysterious. And sheepers are known to be sort of a little bit more difficult to make and take a little bit more time and aging. But they're fascinating. To me, they're fascinating. I love a good sheepra.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you encouraged me to keep smelling it and to kind of keep exploring some of the vocabulary behind that, because it was like you touched on before. It was like, right, I don't have a huge vocabulary other than it smells citrusy or orangey. And then, but yeah, you can also talk about the lift or the earthiness or the mood that it creates. And mm-hmm. there is a whole sensual experience when you just focus on your smell. Mm-hmm. And it's a really different way of harnessing that world. Or I feel like I was really absorbed in this vintage violet.
Yeah. And I think we could go even deeper. So, and I think people who, oh, I don't remember the word, forgive me. But the people who smell wine and taste wine, I feel like they've got it going on. Like they have a really clear vocabulary. They have a really good understanding of what each of those adjectives means. Mm-hmm. So I think we could learn something from the wine connoisseurs.
Yeah. Did you take, I know you, on your website and your biography, you talked a little bit about how you did take some courses that you're primarily self-taught mm-hmm. through your yeah. herbalism, through your training as an artist. Mm-hmm. What's a formal perfume class or training like? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it took me a lot of searching to find somebody who was close enough to me that I could train with. That, yeah, it's. I think it's what you can find. It's not very easily accessible. It's not like you can just kind of go downtown and take the local perfumery class. And there's not a whole lot of books either. There are formal trainings where you can go to Paris and you can go to perfume school and you can.
Let's do that.
Spend.
Oh, you're already in it. You're already in it. You don't need to. You're so talented already.
No, no, I think I would enjoy it to an extent, but I'm not that interested in studying aroma chemicals, which is a large part of what they're doing.
Right.
They do study naturals, as well to an extent. You know, and I haven't been there, so I don't know all the details, but. So you can go to formal perfumery school and then you can take up an apprenticeship or whatever at a perfume manufacturing place. But I think we're seeing a growth of small indie perfumers. A lot of them are self-taught or they train with a small natural perfumer who, you know, is established enough to share their and generous enough to share their knowledge. So when I found Charna at Providence Perfume Company and she was teaching classes, I was like, I've got to do this. This is going to be, I think, not only enlightening and I'll learn a lot, but validating. I mean, I think that was sort of when I realized like, oh, it can be more than just a hobby. You know, it doesn't have to be just this sort of side thing that I do. I can really put my energy into this and create more out of it. So that was really valuable.
Giving people like a product that isn't aroma chemicals, like you were mm-hmm. talking about. I feel like there's a huge push for people knowing what's in their skincare mm-hmm. and people that want to eat organic. And, you know, as in the U.S. in the beauty industry, we are not, as consumers, the like FDA barely regulates anything that goes directly into our blood from our skin. It's mm-hmm. just like, it's so unregulated compared mm-hmm. to Europe, compared to everywhere else. So mm-hmm. it's, I think that having that kind of natural component is also really refreshing for people. And, mm-hmm. you know, we want that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of blindness, consumer blindness. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but, so even if I were to say, oh, you should really avoid phthalates or you should really avoid, you know, Z estrogens or whatever, these things that you know, have been linked to diabetes and endocrine disruption and so on and so forth, that you could know that, but you're not going to find that on the ingredient list, because you're going to find the word fragrance and you're not going to know what that means.
And that's an umbrella term.
It's an umbrella term that all companies can use, and they can hide whatever they want pretty much inside of that term. You know, phthalates are something that's used as like a fixative in order to make the perfume last longer. And it's used in everything. It's used in candles, detergent, shampoo, deodorants, body lotions, body creams, baby wipes. I mean, you name it, everything, you know, air fresheners. So I believe that the body is, you know, miraculous and incredibly resilient. But I do think that it has a threshold. And I think the issue lies in the fact that we're bombarded with these things that our body can't recognize and can't assimilate. And we don't really know what those long-term effects are. And it's not to say, you know, that anything natural is totally safe, because that also isn't true. I think, you know, anybody can be allergic to anything. We can be allergic to peanut butter or daisies.
Daisies are so pretty, though.
I hope you're not allergic to daisies.
I'm not. But my hairstylist is allergic to flowers. And she starts her sneezing and stuff, like, while she's cutting my hair.
Right.
But I keep going back because she's great.
So it's not like I can say that, you know, everything is going to be fine if you purchase only natural products. But I think we are highly dependent on doing really good research with our companies. We need to look for umbrella terms and dig deeper into what that means. And we need to look for companies that are saying, you know, I explicitly am 100% natural, because natural is also an umbrella term. I mean, there are perfumes out there that say, on the side of the bottle, they say natural spray, but they're primarily aroma chemical based fragrances. So it's really tricky. And it's frustrating, because I see those products and I'm like, these consumers are being completely duped. So that is frustrating to me. And at the same time, it's one of the reasons I didn't go into clinical herbalism. I just don't want to spend my time proselytizing. I don't want to, you know, be lecturing people. I want to make art. So it's a little tricky. You know, I just try to offer the, you know, products that meet my standards of living. And I want plants. I want, you know, plants to me are not only healing, but incredibly aromatically complex. They're beautiful, and they just touch me in a deep place, and that's what I want to work with.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love that. Tell us about some of your more popular blends that you do, because you do your perfumes in micro batches, right? Mm-hmm. It's small batches and micro batches based on what you've foraged that season, or what you're kind of attracted to. Mm-hmm. So when they're gone, they're gone.
Usually I do have a line of perfumes that I am attempting to keep making. The caveat being that because I work exclusively with natural materials, there are batch variances. So I do have a line of perfume that I am continuing to make. And then around that, I'll do seasonal batches. Sometimes I'll do return batches from like a favorite from the archive. And then yes, limited editions as well.
Very cool. What are the favorites from the archives that you've created? What are some of the ones that have really caught people's imaginations over the years? I can tell you which one I love. Yeah.
You said from the archives, so I'm really having to dig. There's one. Do I talk about it? Because I don't have it for sale, so that's really sad.
It's too tempting. Tell us about one that you have currently that people can find. Yeah,
one that I did bring back from the archives for Valentine's Day is called Swoon.
Okay,
and that's a gourmand perfume. Gourmand perfumes are foodie perfumes. They're perfumes that make you want to eat someone. So they're yummy. They're usually based around chocolate or vanilla or some type of dessert or edible delight. And Swoon is based around chocolate, cardamom, coffee, rose, jasmine, and vanilla.
Whoa. And is that really all in one perfume?
It's all in one. A little bit of red mandarin. There are some other notes as well, but those are like the main players. So it's like a spiced coffee, chocolate, floral, gourmand, and it is delicious.
I can imagine wearing that so to yummy. A Valentine's Day date. Yeah. And
it's perfect. Gourmands are perfect for going out on a date or going out to dinner because they don't argue with your food.
This
is nothing like taking a bite of your food and then like sort of tasting laundry detergent or nice fabric softener note in there. Like, that's no fun. So wearing a spice perfume or a gourmand perfume is a really nice compliment to going out on a date.
I love that. Where do you get your ideas for creating these combinations? I mean, I would never think to put like coffee and cardamom and chocolate and rose together. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what that's like for you.
Yeah. So sometimes the inspirations come from the materials themselves, just smelling different materials. And I do a lot of just experimental blending. I'll put two notes together, or I'll set up different paper blotter strips like this in combination. I make a lot of mods or prototypes of blends. So experimenting is a big part of it. But in terms of inspiration, I'm very moved by nature. So even though I'm not a winter person, I'm still inspired by discomfort and by the way the light changes and the way the trees behave and the way that nature affects us. So a lot of my work is very nature-centered. So for example, my perfume Samara, a Samara is a tree seed basically, and little helicopters that people throw up. Those are little
those are called Samara.
Maple Samaras. Yeah,
cool.
So Samara, my perfume, is inspired by elm Samaras. I love the elm tree, a Demulcent herb, of course. But the elm tree puts out these little tree seeds in the early spring before the leaves come out, and they dangle sort of like little earrings along the river, like the Connecticut River. You'll see like the little teeny tiny elm Samaras in there, this light green, and they're a little bit translucent, sort of oval with like a little hook on the top. And they're just so charming, and they're this like promise of spring. And that sort of light green smell, that crispness in the air, that promise of the flow of water after everything thaws. Those are the kind of things that move me and to translate that and to metamorphosize it from a sort of from my imagination into something that's tangible and olfactive is, so nature.
I love that. Telling a story.
Yeah.
Telling a story.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so lovely. That's really lovely. Well, where can people find you? Where can they find your perfumes? If anyone is listening out there, I mean, I know people are listening, but, please go check out Gather Perfume because your botanical perfumes are outstanding.
Thank you.
So where can people find you?
Yeah. So if you go to Thello in Northampton, my line is there. Most of my line is there, and you can smell it in person. Or you can find me on the web at gatherperfume.com. You can also sign up for my newsletter on my website if you're interested in my random poetry musings. And also that's where I oftentimes will release limited editions and collections first through my newsletter before I announce it otherwise. So those are the two places you can find me.
Fabulous.
In the woods, I mean.
Yeah,
who knows? In my garden. At the gym.
Sweating it out.
Yeah.
That's really, really lovely. And so you have a whole Valentine's Day line coming out, including the Swoon perfume that you said that you have. And anything else that we can be looking forward to, maybe for springtime, some crocus-inspired, some crocuses popping up through the snowbanks-inspired perfumes, perhaps.
Yeah.
Anything that we can look forward to? Any little teasers that you can give us?
Wow. I just finished putting out this Valentine's Day collection called the Beloved Collection. And so I need a little bit of time to sort of go back into my lair and reboot the creative juices. I'm sure there'll be something delightful coming for spring. But for now, you can find some of my Valentine's Day treasures. I have a limited edition rose compact and a beautiful silver compact. I have a limited edition I actually can't make again. There's only like, I think 100 mils of it. It's a floral oud perfume. And I have a melting balm of almond and cardamom and some other delights
I'm
kind of into Valentine's Day right now.
Yeah.
And Swoon, of course, the chocolate and cardamom perfume.
Absolutely. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on to Energy Matters today and coming into Valley Free Radio. It was a pleasure to chat with you and explore your world.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a real pleasure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, have a great evening, everyone, and be well.